All right, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. So there's a new TV series premiering on CMT this Thursday, February 23rd, based on the iconic record label Sun Records. Set in Memphis during the tumultuous early days of the civil rights movement, Sun Records tells the untold story of nothing less than the birth of rock and roll. Guided by Sam Phillips, young musicians like Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis combine the styles of hillbilly country with the 50s R&B sound created by Muddy Waters, B.B. King, Fats Domino, and Ike Turner. The series chronicles these young artists' often jarring and sudden meteoric rise to fame in the face of sweeping political change and social unrest. Now, Chad Michael Murray stars as Sam Phillips, and he joins us tonight. Chad, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, David. How are you?
I am great, and I got to tell you, knowing the history of all this, I'm making a statement that should resonate with everybody, but there would be no rock and roll without Sam Phillips.
Yeah, Sam Phillips is the father of rock and roll. Changed the world. I mean, the world would be completely different. You know, music has such a cultural impact on everyone, our history, our day-to-day life, and without Sam, it wouldn't be where it is today. So thanks, Sam.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. No kidding. And, you know, he loved radio, and I know a little bit about Sam Phillips, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that. But he loved radio. He loved music. He loved the blues. But he used to say radio specifically took his mind and traveled it afar. Like, he was so spiritual about everything he did.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was something beautiful about Sam. He was always interested in finding the truth and getting to the root of what people were singing about. And I think that stemmed from his childhood. You know, growing up in the times of slavery and dealing with a lot of these things, he heard people sing from the truth. You know, he heard their pain, their joy, their weakness, their sorrows, everything. And he brought that to Sun. And I think that just instilled a different type of drive and a different motivation in a man for that era. It really did. And, you know, we see what he accomplished.
Well, you know, he went to Memphis, worked for WREC Radio, so he was a disc jockey, so to speak. He was in love with Beale Street. He loved the blues. He was so inspired to be there and started his own Memphis recording service in 1950. Then he started his own record label, Sun Records, in 51. And he named it Sun Records as a sign of his, you know, optimism, you know, a new day, a new beginning. And that was clearly his attitude.
And plus, he saw things that other people didn't see. I mean, he opened the first women's radio station. He was always cutting edge. He didn't see the music. You know, he would record anything, anywhere, anytime, and anyone. And I think that he was just so ahead of his time, and he knew the world.
Yeah, when you look back in the history of music, Chad, I mean, you know, B.B. King, Junior Parker, Howlin' Wolf, Ike Turner, those were the people he recorded. But then, just a short list of the talent he discovered: Elvis, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, Roy Orbison, which is such a central part of this series.
Yeah.
What kind of preparation? Okay, so you know the history of this man. What kind of preparation do you do as an actor to play such a legend in the world of music?
it was incredibly in depth. I mean, for me, I wanted to think. I mean, it starts with, how can one man get the ears of so many unbelievable legends? You know, how does one man have the ears of an Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, these gigantic, legendary personas, right? They're bigger than life. They're larger than life. They're very, I don't want to say flamboyant, but they have very large personalities. So how is it that one man could have their ear? And they're also very different in their own way. So I thought, it had to start with his voice. You know, they're hearing him speak, and everything must start with his voice. And when they heard his voice, and Sam had a very distinct voice, it was kind of this booming tone, and it was a teacher, but a brotherly teacher. And they looked up to him. They had this respect for him as an older brother and a man who knew the truth and a man who knew the music. And so the in-depth started with his voice and doing the research of finding out where he's from, you know, growing up in Florence, Alabama, what his life was like, and creating little memories as a child that inspired him to love music, and just kind of building from there. I mean, there's so much. We're lucky. We have this little thing called the internet. It's fantastic for people in my industry. And, you know, I got to see a lot of interviews with him when he was older,
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot from when he was young, but there was some biographies and there were some old tapes of him speaking with Jerry Lee Lewis, that famous, you know, I got the devil in me.
Right.
Jerry Lee Lewis and Sam, that's a great track.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard it, the recording session, and he left it rolling. It's a great, great session. But just kind of getting who he was, you could really get to the roots of this incredible man.
It's funny you mentioned that. I watched the biography last night, and he was just cool.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. I did. I saw all the previews and the behind the scenes. Yeah. It was like spending a day with him. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah. It's really interesting. What I think I'm most proud of is that this is the man that's been behind the music. You know, he's been behind the curtain. You know, he's almost our Wizard of Oz of rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, people know Elvis. People know Jerry Lee and Johnny Cash and Carl Perkins, and the list goes on and on. They know those names because they're out front and center. They're out performing every night, but they don't know the man that's back there pulling the strings, that man that found the sound that did it all. And I think what's beautiful about Sun is you're going to get to see behind the curtain, and you're going to get to see the kind of the intimate moments between these legendary rock stars and the path that they go on to become the legends and the icons that we now know them as today.
Now, have you visited, I'm assuming you visited Sound Studios at some point.
Oh yeah. I think my son thinks we live there in Graceland. We were there so many times.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. And, you know, I was watching, you know, and I know, you know, as the series continues, you'll see a lot of these things develop. But one of the most iconic moments in Sun Records history, and I don't think people make a connection to the Million Dollar Quartet and really what this was all about, but this all happened at Sun Records.
You know I can't be found sitting home all alone.
Men in one room just kind of just having a jam session together, and Sam's just recording and just, you know, what are the odds that you have these four unbelievable people in the room all at once, and they become known as the Million Dollar Quartet? And that was the foundation of Sun Records and rock and roll and the future of rock and roll.
You know, I saw on your Twitter page you were talking a little bit about the relationship, the friendship between Sam Phillips and Dewey Phillips, and there was no relationship there, but they had quite a friendship and really a lot of the same interests. They were kind of kindred spirits.
I call Dewey Sam's secret weapon. You know, he was. I mean, having the radio station and having Dewey to be able to test out Sam's music on the air, see what really kind of bit into the ears of the people in Memphis. You know, people didn't have that. You know, you can't really, you know, Dewey liked to break the rules. Dewey was an incredibly off the wall, gigantic persona with really no governor on him.
Yeah.
And Sam, I mean, Sam broke the mold. Sam was an incredibly interesting human being. I mean, the man was off the wall, crazy, but in the most amazing, beautiful way possible. I mean, you know, I'm sure everyone saw the famous David Letterman skit. And, I mean, grab that. After I saw that, I went, okay, I have to do this because I'm in love with this man. He's incredible.
That's awesome.
You know, and Dewey was his secret weapon. You know, come in and the first to break Elvis on the air, first to interview Elvis on the air. Dewey and him were, they were partners in crime.
They were a team. They were absolutely a team. I love the way the series is shot, the way it looks. I mean, I just think everything is so well recreated to go back in time. I feel like I'm in the room while I'm watching this.
I'll tell you, it was one hell of an experience. I felt like I was a fly on the wall getting to go back in time. It was really, really something special because every day on the day, we're recording live music. So I'm sitting in Sam's seat behind Sam's equipment, and looking through the window at son watching Elvis come in and sing to his mama for the first time. You know, I'm sitting at son, and I'm listening to all these different recordings from the Prisoners, and
sure.
you can't help but to really not just be nostalgic, but really feel lucky to. I feel incredibly fortunate and blessed to have been able to sit in Sam's shoes during that 5 month stretch, and hopefully much longer, because we have so much more story to tell.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, we're literally just at the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
All the way up till when the Beatles land in the 60s, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about some of the others in the series, some of your other co-stars in the series on records.
The cast is incredible. So we found the reincarnation of Elvis, and it's really hard because Elvis is such an icon. You can't win. I mean, you can't. People are always going to judge him on his looks and everything.
But, well, you guys did pretty good.
So you've seen, you saw a few, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. But
this kid, he's 17, playing 17, all right? He's spent his life being an Elvis impersonator. He's live singing Elvis, all right? That's his voice. That's not, you can't tell. He's the first actor to ever actually sing Elvis instead of just doing it to a track of Elvis. This kid is something else. He's really special, never acted. This is his world. He stepped in it, and we kind of took him under our wings and said, all right, man, this is how we do it. You know, Billy Gardell, great guy.
Right.
Coming in, and he takes the colonel and just makes him that icon that we all know. You know, that mischievous, swindling, you know what, of a man.
Yeah.
And we have Margaret Ann's playing Marion, Sam's partner. At Sun, and she just hit a home run. She really did. Just playing the strong female archetype in a time where women weren't yet equal to men, and you're dealing with the civil rights movement and race and discrimination. And I don't think that there's a better time right now than right now, when it's kind of a hot button, and you see that Sun has no. They don't see color. They see music, they see truth, they see beauty, they see human, and I love that about this show. I really, really just dig it. I mean, it's so good, and we've got some great new stars. We really do. Our Johnny Cash is unbelievable. Our Jerry Lee. I mean, every time they're on screen, you cannot help but to start laughing. They're so good.
That's great. Oh no, that's awesome. That's awesome. But you mentioned about, you know, historically what he did. You know, when he was a DJ, he played music from both black and white artists on the same station, which I hate to say, it was not done back then. It was unheard of to do it that back then. And he always said he was playing good music. Music to him had no color, which is the way it should be.
It's absolutely the way it should be. I mean, it's the way everything should be. But he was just way ahead of his time. You know, for back then, it was completely unacceptable. And we really touch on that here and there throughout the series. And I think you'll get a piece for that. But I think that's why we love Sam so much, is he really was so cutting edge. He was ahead of his time. He was doing things that people didn't even realize he was doing.
Right.
And he didn't even care that he got flack for it. You know, I mean, he wanted to open up the first African-American radio station, but he was beaten to it. So he opened up the first woman's radio station.
Which I love, WHER.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I have a story to share with you, Chad. You know, back in 2010, I was a committee member for the Radio Hall of Fame, and I nominated Sam Phillips for so many reasons. People don't really just say, well, what did he do exactly for radio? And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So besides, you know, being a DJ himself and this first women radio station, girl radio station, which you mentioned, you know, there would be no FM radio and rock and roll radio if he didn't create the genre 60 years ago. And you know, I know he owned radio stations after he sold the studio and everything, but we inducted him posthumously in 2010. I met Sam's sons, and they were so grateful that, you know, because he's in all kinds of other Hall of Fames, and he was the first class for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but nobody really recognized his contribution really to radio and what he did for the industry. And he did it for so many, rock and roll, blues, radio. I mean, he was just an amazing pioneer.
He was looking for that thing, man. He was looking for something new, something people hadn't heard before. He was trying to change the world, and he did it, and he did it well. And, you know, I wish I would have had the opportunity to meet the man. You know, I just heard so many incredible things, you know, that he had this 1,000-mile stare. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And he was larger than life, but I've had the pleasure to spend a lot of time with Jerry. Jerry was actually at the screening on Saturday, and to get a hug from Jerry after he saw all 8 episodes, and for him to be giving me the pat on the back and the A-OK, it meant more to me than anything. Like, I wasn't nervous about anything. You know, we got, you know, directors, producers, people in the room. That's fine. It was when Jerry was there, you know, someone who loved his father more than anybody. And we're putting his father out there for the world to see, kind of for the, in a big way, for the first time, you know. And to get the hug from his son was everything to me. And I sat down, and my wife just gave me the pat on the back. She's like, yeah. You know, she was really nervous too. She's like, oh, God, what'd he say? What'd he say?
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. And I understand that. I understand that completely. Absolutely. Now, you've got, before I let you go, you got a couple other things releasing this year. One is your second child, so congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Man, it seemed like 3 weeks.
Is that right? Oh, man. Look out. Look out.
I know. And we were just at the gym, and my wife just really likes to get on the treadmill and walk, and everyone's just looking at her like, are you kidding me? I mean, she looks like she's carrying twins right now. It's insane. But she, all on her belly. She didn't put on any weight on her face, nothing. And I'm sitting there going, it doesn't look human. It's just actually really quite
That's
priceless.
Awesome. Well, congratulations
to you
both.
Right on the treadmill, and you can't even tell.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you got a new novel coming out, so you're writing now. So tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yes, sir. American Drifter, coming out in November. Night-night, buddy. Sorry, that's my boy in the background. night-night, buddy. That's, November 14th, American Drifter. It's been 5 years coming. The book industry is a very different beast than the film industry. You know, your turnaround is much shorter time, or much longer time, just due to edits A, B, and C. But American Drifter just follows an American soldier. He's backpacking through South America, ends up in Rio having a high adventure romance with this Brazilian woman. And he comes to find out that she's basically owned by the cartel down there. And they're after him after he, in self-defense, believes he murdered a man. And so he's on the run at the same time having this high adventure romance, and it all kind of comes to a head at Christ the Redeemer's feet. It's really something special. I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited about it.
Very cool. And that's November.
It's with November, teamed up with Heather Graham. She's a 25-time New York Times bestseller writing author. And she taught me the ropes, and we come out. I think we're going to Book Con in New York in June 2nd through the 5th to premiere the book. And then this November 14th, I believe, she drops. You can already pre-order on Amazon, iBooks, and I'm excited about the world that is American Drifter and what it can be.
Very cool. Very cool, man. Congrats on that as well. Well, I'll tell you, the new series, again, Sun Records, debuts on CMT, the Country Music Channel, on Thursday, February 23rd at 9 Central. And for more on that, you can visit cmt.com. If you want to find out more about Sun Records, very cool, you can visit sunrecords.com. Chad, a pleasure as always, my friend.
Such a pleasure, David, man. You take care of yourself and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks. You too. All right. Thanks, buddy. All right. It's 720 WGN.